This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
G'day, mate. How you going?
How you going there, Todd?
That's why my friends from Australia, that's how they start. They're like, hey, mate, how you going?
How you going? Like, how's it going? Yeah. I like how you're going better than how you doing.
I do, too. It's
maybe we should switch doing for going.
Everything they say is better. Instead of, you know, what do you think? They say, how you reckon?
Hey, how you reckon? Now, they do say you reckon in the South, so... Mm-hmm. At least there is some of that, but I like how you reckon. And also, I think we should also adopt the way Australian people say the truckies instead of the truck drivers.
Oh, yeah.
The truckies are going to strike. Go to the store now. I remember when they were about to go strike and shit.
Uh-huh.
They call them the truckies.
I like it. And like, we shorten documentary to doc usually. Like, did you see mm-hmm. that doc? And they call them docos. Again, way better. They totally make everything better when they tag it with a, I don't know, slang or whatever. Their slang is way better than ours.
Way better slang.
Jesus.
It seems like it's more up to date, you know, like some more responsible people made the slang up.
I think so.
But also, let's not forget, Australia's history is they're a bunch of prisoners. You know, they got sent down there. So there's already a little bit more of a zero fucks to give, I'm going to do me type thing that, you know, a lot of times we've just stuck to some dumb shit when we could have adjusted like them.
I think so, too. And, you know, they have a lot of giant spiders over there.
Yeah.
And a lot of poisonous shit they have to worry about.
You know, and I have a buddy named Milan. He has a thing called, he has a company called Punchline. He distributes all of the comedy DVD material and all that stuff. I don't know how it works with streaming now, but he distributes all that for Australia. Mm. He does all the deals for all their stuff down there. Anyways,
can he get snuff films?
I don't know. I'll have to ask him. And I'm also going to Google what snuff films is.
It's films where they record people like dying. Like, remember Faces of Death? Do you remember that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Those were supposed to be like clips of snuff films, but they were all fake.
Those all fake?
I think so. I think
I saw dudes dip cats. I saw some really gross shit, man. The one time I watched it.
There was, but I think like when they showed the murder or whatever, that was fake.
Oh, okay.
But they had like people dying by accident on there that was real.
Yeah, that was some gross shit. I'm not really into the gross shit, so my buddies all wanted to get the tape and watch it, and they always had like a watch night one night to watch that shit, and I just, that ain't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But my man, now this is another thing I love about Australia. So like he says, listen, mate, don't buy me any drinks. I'm only buying drinks tonight. Every time you try to get smooth and buy me a drink, because that's what Americans will do, he's like, that's what you Americans do. You think we say I'm buying drinks and you still try to buy a drink. And I go, he goes, every time you buy me one, I'm going to buy you two and you have to drink them right there. Like, so don't buy them. I buy him one, two drinks right there in front of me. You have to drink them. But I've had that when I was there, it was really, or it was like organized chaos. It was like the way they drink down there and hang out. It's not, you know, no one's doing nothing. Like nobody was doing coke. Nobody was getting buck wild. It was just people getting loud and goofy and having
just
a great time,
man. Just drinking.
Yeah. Just doing some drinking, bro.
It's a better society. Let's face it.
They're doing some drinking and they got a little place down there called Pie Face.
Mm.
That's really good. That's their midnight food. At least one of the places. This is in Melbourne.
Do they serve pie?
They're like little meat pies. They're delicious.
Ooh, I like a good meat pie.
Yeah, Yeah, they're like their version of an empanada style kind of thing, you know, dough, crispy, flaky dough on the outside, deliciousness on the inside.
Kangaroo on the inside?
Little kangaroo, you know what I mean? I never ate kangaroo when I was there.
You didn't try kangaroo?
No.
A lot of people eat it. I think maybe not as much now since most of the kangaroos burn up in the wildfires, but before that.
That's made up.
No. Remember the wildfires?
Yeah, but there's still a ton of them down there. They didn't all die.
I mean, there is, but it did deplete a lot of the, because I had on Heartland Radio, we had that Australian Special Forces guy that was a diver and he got his leg ripped off by the shark. So he was telling me about how, you know, they used to eat the shit out of kangaroo, and it's kind of considered, oh, you're kind of an asshole if you eat it now.
Oh, because of the population decrease?
Yeah, because they lost so many because of the wildfire. Because they used to be like deer here, right? There were so many fucking kangaroos. You had to fucking slaughter them seasonally or, you know.
Yeah, they'll take
get out of control.
Take over the country.
Or you'd be in your backyard throwing a ball with your kid, and like seven of them will come in there and challenge you to a boxing match.
That is pretty wild, because I know they have like cornermen and stuff. There's like, people understand that there are kangaroos that box, but there's also kangaroo cornermen. There's kangaroo cut men. You know what I mean? People forget about that part. The kangaroo training, they actually go to real places, boxing gyms.
Oh, yeah. They have kangaroo promoters.
I'll pull up a link right now if you want to buy gloves for a kangaroo. It has the thumb slots in a little bit lower place.
You just got to tape them on there real tight, because they're just like.
Yeah.
I wish you can't see me doing this, but I'm boxing just like a kangaroo right now.
It looks, honestly, I thought I was watching Nature Channel. It looked like I was watching a goddamn kangaroo throw blows. You know what I wish the kangaroo would evolve into, though? A species that can whip the tail around and use the tail the way like a Tyrannosaurus Rex would or some shit, which I'm not sure they did that, but.
They do like lean back on their tail so that they can lift their feet in the air and then launch you into outer space because those fucking front kicks.
Yeah, that is some Muay Thai shit right there. The kangaroo has the most naturally Muay Thai'd out style of any animal that fucks shit up.
Oh, yeah.
I would like, I wonder how big of an animal a kangaroo can fuck up. Like, what if it was dropped in with a big, strong, badass, young, beast mode ass orangutan?
Yeah, I wonder. Like, let's say they don't have lions there, but let's say like a lion tries to take out a kangaroo. Does a kangaroo have a chance? I mean, it's got the punching power. It's just kind of like that fighter that's over his prime and he's against a younger, faster fighter, but he's still got that right. He lands that right. Kind of like a Derek Lewis. He's always got a puncher's chance. I wonder like if a kangaroo in a fight with a lion always has like a kicker's chance.
Yeah, nice kicker's chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, those are some long legs. Obviously, they can lean into it hard because they got the tail back there, and the tail's fat as fuck.
They lean back and.
I think they actually train them, and they're actually trained assassin kangaroo in the Australian Army, the Australian Beret, Green Beret.
Mm-hmm. Jean-Claude Van Damme trained with kangaroos exclusively for three years.
For double impact.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so did his twin also. Trained.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, people don't even realize that was his real twin.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you didn't know any better, Double Impact's a movie about Jean-Claude Van Damme goes in, has to fuck shit up with his twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, Double Impact.
Nice guy, John, and then asshole John end up fighting together as brothers. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Don't get no better than that. Speaking of fighting, this weekend I was in Stratton, Vermont. Awesome spot. Great little village town, you know, they had a beer festival where if you pay $50, they'll give you a little tiny cup and then you can go wait in line for 30 minutes for every single little baby cup of beer, which is really wonderful on their part. It's such a nice operation that if you just multiply that you get 10 little cups of beer at 30 minutes apiece, there's no way fucking hell you're ever going to get out of there before the next morning, not to mention the chili part. But
every beer festival I've ever been to, I can't even drink enough beer to pee. I've not even had to pee, let alone get a bus. That's how long it takes to get your tiny cup of beer.
Yeah. And, you know, the lines that have no line, the booths with no lines, that's the shitty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm over here drinking fucking whiskey gingers out of a can, you know, like that's what I'm over here talking to some dude about his company. Like, it's like I'm super pumped about it. You know what I mean? Like, OK, well, everybody else has a line of 50 people except for this guy. With the ginger beer fucking whatever.
That smells like feet.
I just, they need more vendors. They need to sell less tickets. But anyways, what had happened was we were at Mulligan's Bar there, downtown Stratton there. Stratton Mountain. I don't know if it's considered downtown. It's the fucking village at the bottom of the ski lot hill, you know?
Right.
And there's a punch machine in there. And these dudes, are these hardos are in there just going bonkers on the punch machine, right? And they're not even racking up that high. They're in the 600s. You know, one guy hit like 890. And that, no one hit one ever even close to that after that, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, yo, you guys should do headbutts. Like, we were already drinking a lot. My girl was ordering Jaeger bombs. So we were feeling good, you know, not to mention we walked in on a show. We gave up on the festival after the chili. Half of them tastes like soup because it was so watery.
Right.
The other half was like mush. There was like one good one in the middle, but all they had was ground beef in it. But anyways, they had good taste, but just everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. We're not waiting in all these lines. So we basically donated $300 to this festival for these fucking chili cups. And, head over to the machine. We get my girl orders a shot of tequila out the gate for everybody. We get a shot of tequila going, a cocktail. We're having some drinks. We're in the corner, bullshitting, having a good time. And then these guys are punching away. So I'm over there, you know, I go, you guys should headbutt it, bro. Cause a couple of the homies that I'm with started hitting it. So now, cause it's becoming a big funny thing now. It went from hardo to funny, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, I just kind of vibrate. I just kind of volunteered and I said, yo, you guys should do headbutts, bro. Everybody jumped on board. And so it was just like six dudes, including all three of us. I was up there. I was fucking headbutting it, bro. And these other guys couldn't get over 250. And the homie and Mike over here, shout out DeLuca Pools. If you're in the fucking South Plainfield, New Jersey area, looking to get your pool closed down real quick, go ahead and contact DeLuca Pools. But anyways, he fucking came in, wham, like a hammerhead, bro. Rang up a 300 on him and then a 450 and everybody, no one can touch him. They thought he was cheating.
Dude, it's all technique. But I wonder when my younger days, what I could have done with a headbutt like on there. Because that was my thing. I was a headbutt guy. I knocked myself out headbutting another person. That's how much I committed to the headbutt.
You headbutted somebody during a fight and you got knocked yourself out.
That was the first blow, dude. That was my rule. Like in a bar, if you got up and, you know, that point where, you know, guys almost like their lips touching your lips, like they want to get that close talking shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, you come get close enough to get headbutt and we're kind of going at it verbally. You're going to get headbutted. Now you go straight for your nose. Mm-hmm. And I was going to school at the time at Eastern Kentucky. Me and two of my friends in there playing pool. And there was a rugby team. The whole rugby team's in there. And we're playing pool against these rugby guys. And we were fucking like pool sharks for college kids, me and my friend Jeff.
Yeah.
And we just clean these dudes out. And I'm fucking just talking shit. And this dude comes up and he fucking reaches in. He's flannel. He had this insulated flannel was big then, you know?
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
reaches in and he goes, I'll fucking shoot you right in your face. And I'm like, that's like the dumbest thing I ever heard. It's like this rugby kid's fucking carrying a shoulder holster
beneath
his insulated flannel. So when he did that, I just trapped his arm with this left hand and I grabbed and I just pulled him in for the headbutt. Boom! And I blast him on his nose. Next thing I remember, there's a bunch of people on top of us and like he's on his back and I'm on top of him and I'm waking up and my friends all pull me up and stuff and knocked myself out cold. And they're like, oh, yeah, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, what happened? And they're like, I don't know. You guys just went to the floor. I was like, I think I knocked myself out. I had a little line here, a little crease on my forehead. And his nose was shattered. Just so dumb. So I would have gone to jail. I wouldn't have made it. Like in today, if I was me then living in this world now, at the age I was then in the world now, I would be in prison. Just for dumb shit. Like not even being a bad person or whatever. Just being a fucking idiot.
Some dumb shit.
But maybe it was just because that stuff happened then and nobody ever got in trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But also he's threatened a gun as well, you know?
True. But I didn't even believe he had it. I just thought, oh, it's dumb. You just trapped your hand in there. Let me use that against you, bro.
But you know? in the court, you know, it stands right up. This guy threatened me with a pistol. Mm-hmm. He reached for it. What are you going to do? I hit him with the old fucking McComas headbutt. Clack,
what am I going to do, Your Honor? Wait till he pulls it out? No.
Yeah, wait till he shoots me to headbutt him?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Oh, two things I want to talk about. Okay, one is, you know, I've been battling with my internet. It's just gone to shit. And I'm not the type of person that's going to say anything bad about a brand or a company or whatever, that, you know, but I'll just say this. If you work or own stock, or you're in any way in a managerial position or ownership position of Xfinity, fuck your mom, you know, because your company sucks. I have been battling. I bought the most expensive, the fastest internet you can possibly buy with the residential package, and I've had it for fucking 3 years, and it's just been shit. And when I call to get service, then like the last time I'm like, listen, you guys, there's got to be something wrong with my outside equipment. Everything's good inside and I'm not getting near what I'm paying for. You know, okay, we'll send somebody out Wednesday between 1 and 4. They don't come. I call. No record of that appointment ever existing. None.
Really?
So
just like, oh, never mind.
I'd have it. And Angie gets pissed at me because the way I talk to the customer service people, I'm like, fucking this, you know, but fuck them. I'm trying to get help here. I've been battling this thing and they won't help me. So finally I made good on my threats with, I always make to them. Like, do I just need to disconnect this and get AT&T? And usually they're like, whatever, dude, everybody says that. This time I fucking did it. I called AT&T. They said, hey, we have fiber in your area.
Oh shit. Fibers.
There's a pole behind your house that we can run fiber right off the pole to your house. And then it's dedicated bandwidth. You don't have to split your bandwidth with your neighbors.
And guess what, Todd, just so everybody knows, before we go any farther in the story, fiber is short for fiber optic.
Fiber optic. That means, and that is Latin for fiber eye stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. And they send a guy out. First of all, when I'm talking on the phone with AT&T, dude with the southern accent, cool as fuck. I'm like, I love this. It's not somebody in Bangladesh that doesn't give a fuck about me, you know?
Or, yeah, yeah.
Or the American English language. But so he comes, he sent a guy, he comes today. Super nice guy. Big guy. Got him some kind of, he's got a hobble. Like he got a bad wheel, you know? Mm-hmm. His knees are bad or something. He's outside. He gets it ran from the pole to the back of the house. We know where it's coming in. And I hear, like, he's yelling, sir, sir. I just happened across the bedroom window where he was at. And I'm like, I hear him. So I go out there, and the dude is stuck on his knees. He can't get up from his knees.
Like he's on the ground?
He's hanging on to my air conditioning unit. He's trying to pull himself up, and he just can't get up, bro. And so I'm like, you need help? Like, I felt bad for him. Like, you need help? And he was like, yeah, if you don't mind. So I hooked him under a wing and I just helped him stand up. And when I'm doing it, from right between my shoulder blades, bro, that fucking old man muscle that's always loosey-goosey goes in a fucking knot. And it felt like you shoved a fucking knife between my shoulder blades from behind and through my heart. And I was like, oh. And I couldn't tell the guy, like, dude, you just fucked me up. You know, so I kept quiet about it. Now I'm like, now we're both fucked up. But he gets it running. Super nice dude. So now
this guy's climbing ladders and shit with a fucked up leg, and he can't even get up off his knees.
I know. I'm like, dude, you're gonna have to find a different position. You gotta ask them for a desk job or something.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta get a knee replacement, bro. You can't get, your job is on your knees half the time you're here. So we'll see if this is better than Xfinity. So far,
what kind of speeds we talking over there at the old McCormick Ranch, bro? I'm
getting the old speed on my phone.
As you said that, it started to break up. What'd you say?
I said I'm getting 650 upload speed, but now I can see the little warning thing on our connectivity is a little low. So I'm gonna have to plug in Ethernet straight to the router. It looks like.
Oh, so you're going Wi-Fi on this move right now?
Yeah, because where it's at right now, I can't exactly reach it with my Ethernet. But
mm-hmm. Listen, people have to respect a good router talk. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Especially now that you have a broke ass back. I'll tell you how much of pain has the router itself caused the American public over the years now, over the last 10 years.
The router. This. How many times have you had to unplug your router from the wall and wait 30 seconds to plug it back in to reboot this motherfucker in the last 2 months alone?
At least I've been doing it. I got a once a month router reset, hard reset.
Yeah.
I'm coming. I almost did it today. I almost did the hard reset on the router earlier right there behind me.
Mm.
I was getting a weird signal pop in and out. I said, you know what? Let me go ahead and fucking go. I went to, listen, I will pull the trigger and go to the router. I'll pull, people know me. I'll pull the trigger to go the router.
I could do that with my body. You know what I mean? Just like, man, I'm fucking feeling a little sluggish, a little slow. Like, just let me unplug for like 30 seconds and I'll plug myself back in.
Get a new clean connection.
I wish that's what happened when we had sex. Like, because you're plugging into a socket.
And you don't mean you and me. You mean in general, just sort of.
Yeah, not just you and I having sex.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like when I have sex with my lady, it's because it is me plugging into a socket. It would be nice if women, you know, or if you're a dude on dude situation, whatever, you know, orifice that you're plugging into.
It's still a male female. No pun intended there, but it's still a male. It's called a male female plug in the outlet. So it's still even though it's two males, it's still a male female connection because something's going inside of something.
Yeah. If whatever you were plugging in there, like if they're. Orifice was like a docking station, and it could just recharge you that way. You could do your duty and, you know, for reproduction or whatever you're supposed to do, or just to enjoy yourself, and then also feel like $1 million afterward. Like, you just got a fresh set of batteries, man.
Million,
because I always feel tired afterward. It'd be great if I just feel like, woo, all right, I'm done, I'm gonna go to the gym.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're watching videos on your phone while it's plugged in. Like, you unplug it and you're juiced up, ready to rock.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when your phone gets a 10% and you start to panic. Yeah. Like, if you could sense that about yourself, I'm like, oh, babe, I'm at 10%. I know you're busy right now and you're trying to clean the house or whatever, but I'm at 10%. Take your pants off.
You need to charge up that ass real quick.
I got to get up to 40 or 50 because I got to drive ahead of me.
I got a nice little hike ahead of me.
I
got
to go to the bank and do some banking. So,
yeah, you don't want to go to the bank on 10%, bro.
No, let me get a quick charge here.
A little quick charge up. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be great?
And it would be nice that if like for ladies who drank like the shots, you know, with like the juice shots and the healthy juices, like if we could pick up that energy from their juice consumption and healthy smoothie consumption and their coffee intake.
Oh, so if you were having sex with a healthy mate, you wouldn't have to do anything yourself because you would be able to kind of absorb all the good stuff they were doing for their body.
That's got to be considered the solar aspect of this whole operation, right? To pick it up off of them like that because of what they're intaking something and passing off the power, but they're not plugged into the grid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or it's kind of like you're a nutritional vampire.
Yeah.
You're draining them of... They're, you know, so you're just looking to hook up with chicks that go to the gym a lot and eat well, so that you can fucking look younger and be younger. Like, if you don't have sex with a healthy chick, you do like a vampire and you start looking really old when they go too long without blood.
I think we'd have a different health situation in this world if that was the case. I think there'd be a lot less overweight people.
I mean, I would rather do that than have to get insurance.
Sounds like a much better idea.
Right?
Yeah. What a scam insurance is, bro. God, what a fucking scam.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Why is every system that we have to deal with a scam that operates slowly? It's all a scam, but it's so large. It covers all the ground. It's just operates slowly, and it's a scam. Has anybody ever written up an alternative to have coverage without it being, we pay in $70 million and they pay out $1 million, you know, like collectively? Because I mean, let's put it this way. If every American who has health insurance paid their bill, whatever the insurance companies have to cover in medical expenses is definitely way less than that monthly knot.
It's basically the mafia. You know, like in the old days, if you were a shop owner, you had to pay the mafia for security so no one fucking burned your little market down. You know, it's like that. Like, you, nothing's going to happen, but I still got to pay you every month. So that, you know what I mean? Does anybody else get that kind of profit margin?
I don't think so. I would like to know. I wish we know we have a lot of CEOs and shit that listen to this podcast. That's a given.
A given.
If you are a CEO of any sort of insurance situation and sort of company, maybe let us know what like the profit margin is, even after, let's say, pre-marketing and then post-marketing.
I'd like to know
about their spending, Todd.
I would too. You know, speaking of spending, like, how good is it when you can handle everything on your phone?
You mean banking?
Specifically banking.
Okay.
Like, Now, listen, everybody's like, well, my bank has an app and I can, you know, obviously pay for things through my phone. You know, I can link my bank account with Amazon or whatever, and I can deposit checks by taking a photo. Everybody has that. Yes. But let me ask you this. If you have, let's say Chase, let's say you bank at Chase and you have the Chase app and you can do all the cool things the Chase app lets you do. Do you also on your phone have one of those apps that you can link your account to? So like it rounds up purchases. Like if you spend $19.47 on gas, does it give you the remaining 53 cents? Does it go ahead and spend that and put it back in a savings account for you on a different? You have to have a different app for that. What if all this was in one, Sean?
That sounds like you're talking about the app they use in heaven, Todd. When you go to the new life, to the new world,
mm-hmm.
and you're walking around doing your heavenly banking. That is what they must use this company.
We're talking about Current, the Current app, and it was developed by the best engineers in heaven. It started in heaven. That's where the beta testing occurred, and now it's here on earth for human beings to use. The angels gave it a thumbs up, and now it's here. Tell them more about it, Sean.
See, Current is a technology company, Todd, that lets you manage your money on your phone, and it believes that banking should be more accessible and more affordable, and more importantly, no surprises, no minimum balances. I mean, small things that they're doing for you. First of all, get your direct deposit a couple days early. Maybe you have a miscalculation on your funds and you overdraw. If you overdraw on $100 or less, there's not even no fees. They know people mess up.
I mean, do you get that with your banking app?
No.
Doubt it.
This app is just the situation that you need if you're not great. Like if you're not great at setting saving goals, that's what's going to happen in the app. It's easy to create saving goals, including ability to round up purchases like Todd spoke about earlier to save those extra change. And I'll tell you, after a few months of purchases, that change adds up.
It does. Think about all these financial apps that you love. Think about bundling them all together in one sweet little app that was developed in our Father's house. In
plus
heaven.
No long earning points
when you swipe with your debit card to eligible merchants, redeemable for cash back, no fees on over 40,000 in-network all-point ATMs in the U.S., helpful spending insights and notifications to track where and when you're spending. It's everything you want in one little sweet banking app.
And here's the thing, Todd. Right now, for a limited time, Current is giving everybody a $50 sign-up bonus. If you're a new customer, you're going to get a $50 sign-up bonus when you sign up for the premium and set up a direct deposit of $200 or more. That's easy. That's free money. That's a 20. If you're getting a $200 check coming, guess what? You're going to throw another 25% on that check because that's $250 coming. All you got to do. Current will deposit $50 into your account. Enter the code GUNS during sign-up when you visit current.com/guns to claim your offer, guys.
What's that promo code again?
That would be GUNS, Todd. G-U-N-S. Ooh, nice shot.
What is it again?
GUNS. That one sounded like it jammed up a little bit.
I'm going to get this Current app. We sat down and we talked to a lady from Current, and mm-hmm. she explained it all in great detail, and I'm in love with it. As soon as I have dollars to keep in said app mm-hmm. and said account, I'm getting it.
Well, see, my problem is that I have to spread my money out to a couple different accounts I'm looking at because obviously the FDIC only insures up to $250,000. So I have to, diversify throughout my current accounts.
Gotcha.
But here's the deal. Download the Current app now. Sign up unless it's less than 2 minute operation. Enter the code during sign up and it's on like Donkey Kong. You're getting free $50. This might really work well for people who are just tired of big banks. You know what I mean?
Tired of big everything right now.
No shit, man. The system is rigged against us. And thank goodness we have companies like Current showing up, having our backs and trying to help us, Todd.
Thank you, Current. Seriously, we do love these people. So if this is something you think that would be helpful to you, please, please take advantage. We'd like to keep them around. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk about. You and I recently each watched the prequel movie of The Sopranos.
Yes.
Saints of Newark. All right. And it's the origin story of Tony Soprano. Mm-hmm. It's starring James Gandolfini's son.
Yes.
Who looks incredibly like him.
A young version.
A young man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible.
What'd you think overall?
Here's what I think. I think one, everybody is just got to relax. Okay. They're just making a nice little film here. You know, they're not, it's not, you know, it's, I think I liked it for what it was. I know that there's some parts in it and there's some, you know, there's some things along the line that they could have done better. But overall, you know, a lot of people said, well, they don't even show young Tony that as much as I thought they should have. Like, well, guess what? They're showing where he got his mindset,
his mentor, his. All right, I'm giving it a thumbs up because, and I, you know, I talked to you earlier that I thought it started slow the first half or whatever. And here's what I think after watching all, and it really picked up after that, by the way. Yeah. And I ended up enjoying it. It could have been better, obviously, but I'm wondering if this wasn't a COVID movie. I wonder if they got fucked by COVID. And because I did notice, like, some of the scenes and stuff, you could tell they were on a set instead of on location.
Uh-huh.
And that always kind of bothers me visually. I'm like, oh, yeah. this is on a production set. This isn't really in New York or in New Jersey or New York. So that bothered me. But you got to remember a lot of these movies now, because I've seen a few now where I'm like, oh, it looks like they kind of had to shortcut things. But what, you can't help it. We want new movies,
yeah.
And it's COVID, and it's a different world now. We may have to start like adjusting our expectations until this is totally figured out.
Not to mention, I feel like, and again, I'm not sure if I talked about this on our Patreon coffee session, which we do weekly. If you'd ever like to join up to the Patreon, it's like an extra podcast weekly. I was talking about this is like The Irishman. People went off on that. Like, these are great films. They're really good. I enjoy watching them. Like, people are so, but you'll follow a guy on TikTok who just fucking puts his thumb up his ass and makes a honk noise. And he's got 2 million followers, right? But you want to criticize actual, like, hundreds of people working together to make a decent. And listen, let's not forget, this is just the first one. We can, Saints of Newark can fucking roll on into a few more films. And again, I know if you're the film buffs out there, we get it. It was not what you expected, but I enjoyed it. You know what? I would send a thank you letter to the producers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it overall. So if anybody's telling you it's a total piece of shit, it's not.
No.
Not even close. It's a good movie. Did we want more? Yeah, but I do think it was a COVID time movie, and this is what you're going to get. I mean, some things have to be shortcutted.
And I can't, and you know what? I feel like the next script is going to be money. I think they're going to go big time because they don't have to worry about that COVID shit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any restrictions. They'll probably get more, they'll have more money on, you know, seed money up front. They'll obviously made the money they made off of this, whatever their deal with whoever showed it, HBO Max.
Right.
You know, whatever they had to pay for it. Cause that, I mean, everybody watched it for a large group of people watched that movie when it came out.
Right.
Plus, you know, the only thing I'm worried is how, I mean, are the movies basically going to be leaving? Cause so many people, this movie was in the theaters, but then it's on streaming.
Yeah, it's also released on HBO Max for free if you have a subscription, which I don't want to brag, but I have a subscription.
You do have one.
And I think movie theaters are going to go away as we knew them. I think you're still going to be able to get to them in certain areas. I think it's going to become like a prestige thing. I think we may end up, the movie theater may end up becoming only the theaters like that serve alcohol and you sit at a table instead of, I think you're going to see more premium experience and there won't be as many of them. It's going to be for the real movie theater connoisseur. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I forgot what movie we did, but me during COVID, during COVID, a lot of movie theaters, you can rent the whole thing's yours for like $250.
Mm-hmm.
So if your whole, you know, if you drag 20 people, 15 people, it's not bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, $20 a head, something like that. But at least you get to go to the movies because you couldn't for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But it is pretty fun. And there was the movie theater on here shows old movies and you can do it. So it's like a really fun family thing, too.
It would be really cool, too, if I could rent that movie theater and just connect with Chromecast or something. Or it's just a giant smart screen. And I can just log into my own Netflix or whatever. Like, and a bunch of us could rent it out and watch fucking football all day or something off YouTube Live, off my YouTube Live account.
Might even be able to be doable. Also, what if I want to do a keynote speech? You know what I mean? Maybe I want to go fucking full turtleneck, jeans, no belt. You know what I mean? Get some old tennies on. Looks like I'm like I just got them from a from the fucking Goodwill. Mm-hmm. And get up there and do a little talk. Can that be done? Can I do keys? Can I do a keynote? Yes or no?
Can I just have people pay to go in there and watch me do stand up here in bedroom number 4? I put a camera on me. We stream it straight to the movie theater.
Well, why don't you go do it in front of the theater?
Well, I'm just saying, like, let's say I'm lazy that day.
Okay, good point. Yeah, you just want to do that show, the set from the house.
Yeah, say, you know, maybe once a month I'll do a set from my house and it could be. But let's say nobody's going to do that for me. But let's say Dave Chappelle. Let's say you can have an interactive experience with Dave Chappelle. He's just at his fucking house in Yellowwood, whatever, you know, Ohio.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting around. He's like, you know what? If you guys pay $50 each, you can go to this movie theater. And I'm going to be sitting in my house and I'll give you a fucking show. Like, do you think that that will ever happen?
To simulcast the movie theaters across the nation?
Yeah.
And then he just does like, he just like works on new bits. And I mean, 50 is a little steep, maybe 10.
Or maybe like he's doing a big show somewhere, but then they simulcast it through live stream to movie theaters and other places. You know what I mean? Like, because remember like when... Before our time, too, this happened a lot. Like, that's how you saw Richard Pryor live on Sunset Strip. You went to the movie theater and watched it. But even, like, when I was a kid, you went there. We watched Eddie Murphy Delirious.
I watched Martin Lawrence Run Tell That there.
Yeah.
At the movies. But also Gabriel Iglesias. I watched one of his specials at the movie theater. Kevin Hart does it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The real big guys can still pop it off.
But what if it was live? Not a recorded special that's going there. You're just like that. Oh. Joe Rogan. I want to go see Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle so badly, you know, and they're popping off on the other side of the country all the time together, but they're not coming to Indianapolis. But if they would stream that shit to a movie theater, I'd fucking buy a ticket and give me some popcorn and a giant ass Coke and I would have a fucking blast.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I don't know if,
you know, Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle, big listeners of this show. So, Dave, huge listeners. Joe, hey, feel free. That idea is free, bro.
You guys can have that, Joe. Dave, Joe, you guys can have that.
Out of respect.
Yeah. And he's just hanging out there doing sets. That kid Wyatt, that Lutz, he's a comic in Dayton. He's a crazy little fuck with the mullet.
Yeah, I love Wyatt. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got great energy. He fucked around and ended up doing a show in the Yellow Springs with old Dave Chappelle, bro. I'm Rich Biatch, Donnell Rollins.
Oh yeah,
they were just doing it off of some patio, dude. Like, not even a patio; they were doing it off of like a deck.
There's, I guess, this documentary about what all Dave Chappelle did there where he lives over COVID is coming out, and it is supposed to be killer. It's like so good. Like they were doing a documentary, I think, just about him. And preparing for this last special and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then COVID hit and fucked shit up. So they were like, he started doing all these amazing things for his community and then employing people that were unemployed to run these shows he was doing and stuff. And I think he paid for everybody in the town to get vaccinated, all this stuff. Like, and they were like, oh, now let's make this the documentary. And I guess it's cool as fuck. I don't know.
Well,
it's,
I got to see that. Yeah. Because I know that beforehand, I was under the impression, like the last time I was in Dayton, there's a building that he bought to open up his own comedy club in Yellow Springs.
Yeah, I guess he has an amazing venue there for live shows. And then also a, like, the coolest fucking after show experience you could ever imagine. Like this fully stocked, amazing bar and food and all this stuff where all the comics can hang out and with their,
that's
VIPs.
The move right there, bro. Oh. That's the move. Get your own facility, man. If I could, if money wasn't an object, I'd get my own barn right now. One of the metal barns. I'd be playing all winter cornhole, bro. And I'd have my office in there just like a place to do your thing, just to film, just to stream, to do studio, you know, do your podcast, which you don't need a whole fucking studio. All you got to do is be sitting next to each other with a couple of good mics. I mean, let's be honest here. Yeah, if money wasn't an issue, I'd have a dope studio. But otherwise, give me a cool background, bro. A couple of mics and a table and my buddies. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Even like when you watch Joe Rogan, I mean, it's a cool looking studio, but it's nothing like crazy.
But it's perfect. Like the background.
It's interesting, too, that he likes the table. Right?
I'm a big table guy. I love the way he does his table.
Yeah, I do, too.
Especially sitting across from each other or like in a squared off or a circular air situation there.
Uh-huh.
When Pat first opened that studio, I really enjoyed that, too, sitting in that big-ass room across from everybody. That was nice, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, there's been some really good ones. But Dave Chappelle, yeah, I mean, he's got to have the dope-ass spot. I would have a straight-up comedy facility. I need to start learning how to pull permits. That's on my bucket list right now. I think one of my top things on my bucket list, I'm writing it down right now.
Write it down.
Top five.
Okay.
One of them is pull permits. And I want to pull permit. My first permit I pull, Todd, is where I can serve alcohol at the house.
Oh, to like patrons.
Yeah, so I can do a show somewhere remotely and then sell my own, get my own bartender, my own bar back, and get loose with it, bro.
Love it.
That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time I did that house, I overshot my coverage, but when I had I had a loft show downtown that to this day, I just can't even, some kid filmed it all and he just never gave me the video. I still know that fucking kid. He still does a ton of work. I wonder if he's got that footage laying around on an old hard drive from 09, bro.
You know, You know who does a lot of house shows? Like there are people like that have a lot of money and they'll have like 30 friends over and they'll throw these house comedy shows and they pay really well. Is Stuart Huff does a bunch because he's kind of one of those guys. Like if you love Stuart, you love Stuart. And he gets these people that are, you know, these intellectual people, with a lot of money, and they'll fucking hire him to come to their house and do a comedy show.
If you guys have a house and you want to do a show in it and you got at least 30 people paying you, whatever, I don't give a fuck what you do. If you want to pay us, you know, I mean, listen, we're going to need travel no matter what. And $1,000. I mean, come on. We got to, you know.
Come on.
$500. I mean, I'll do it right now. If someone said $500 and a plane ticket and the Uber ride or pick me up, then I would do it for $500 for fun on a one-nighter.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be less than a two-hour flight, though. I can't be going too far for $500, bro.
You don't want to be going to Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I might do that. But.
I think I would love to do a house show at some point. It just sounds so cool.
Well, in L.A., there's a ton of people for Christmas parties have house shows at their house. So, like, a lot of the Mexican homies that I was doing shows with, they'd all have the hookup on the house shows. So I've definitely done a fucking set right in someone's living room, right in front of their fireplace. I've done backyards up the asshole because you could still go out back and shit in the evening. Like in December, you have to wear a hoodie. Yeah. Damn, I have a fire going, but you could still. And I've definitely done house shows with fools.
Love it.
Which is cool. Wild. I'm just in Tia's fucking. I'm in your auntie's living room over here by the fireplace. So everybody sits around in their nice Christmas clothes, bro. Do a little set ski here.
I would love it. I would love to do that.
The best random set, one of them was in San Francisco. I don't know if I've discussed this here or not, but I like the 18th Street train station or something. They have someone comes in on like Monday nights or whatever, and they chalk off a circle. And then at 7 o'clock, the open mic starts. And it's just a ton of people sitting Indian style, like 50, 60, 70 people sitting Indian style. And then when you're ready to go up, you guys got to jump in. You kind of like got to like double dutch it. You got to time it perfectly for when the other person ends their set. Mm. And it could be a violinist or a comic, but we would always do comedy. And then you have to fucking like be up on your feet, ready to launch in there, dude.
Really?
Like they didn't have no MC. You just jumped up in a circle of people sitting Indian style outside at a bus stop and you just do your set, bro.
I did a comedy show impromptu at when I used to teach at the Top Gun Undercover School. I was a role player, but we go drink at this little bar afterward that was on this little military base. It was all people, instructors and students, and then I think there were a few military people in there, whatever, and a few of the guys just started fucking just challenging me to do a comedy show right then and there. So
yeah.
We just cleared out a couple tables, and I kind of backed myself into the corner so everybody could see me. No mic, no nothing.
Raw dog.
Did my fucking show, and it was a blast, dude. There was four Navy SEALs that were there training, that were there together, and they were in the front row.
Nice.
Oh my God, I had a blast with those dudes. They're like, oh, you're gonna give me four Navy SEALs front row? Here, let's just do Navy SEAL fucking crowd work for a fucking hour.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
and those guys really love when you dig at each other. Like they love it, bro. Cops, corporations, like they love when you hit the boss. You know what I mean? Anybody can clown the boss.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit's awesome. You know, that's one thing that a lot of people will never get to experience, which sucks because I wish they could, is when you are a comedian and then out of nowhere one of those type of shows pops up and they put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up working out, even though you're like deathly fucking nervous. And then you crush it, and then it's awesome afterward. Like the satisfaction of that feeling of being tossed into an impossible sort of situation, back against the wall, do a set or be a bitch, and sell it hard enough to make it work well, and just walking off like fucking. I love it when a plan comes together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hannibal.
I tell those Navy SEALs, I go, dude. First of all, mad respect for what you guys do. Some of the hardest training known to man. I said, but how rough is it to see like other guys you really care about that are just, they have exactly what it takes to be a Navy SEAL. They make it all the way through BUDS. They're incredible swimmers. They survive Hell Week, you know, and they tactically, you know, definitely a guy you want guarding your six, and they get right to the final end and then just can't fucking grow a beard and they're out. And they're out. Like, just fucking.
That, you're done. You don't have a beard, bro. They're going to know who you are.
The beard ain't thick enough, bro. You're out of here.
You're done. When they bring fools back to life, when you're like underwater, you go unconscious, that's always wild.
Right?
Yeah, the guys that almost, they basically drown and they come back. They flatline and they come back. Wild, bro.
That Navy SEAL BUDS training is insane. Insane. Like I'll make no bones about it. Even at my best, there's no way I could have been a Navy SEAL because I don't think I could swim for miles out in the ocean like they have to.
Yeah, that is insanity. But you know what? Those guys are a different breed of human being, bro. When you hear that one guy talk about your daily routine, I'm up at 4 o'clock. I'm making moves. I'm showered. I'm at the gym. I'm doing shit. And at 6 o'clock, I've already got 2 hours while you fucks are still asleep that I've just knocked out. And guess what? I'm going to do another 2 hours before 8 o'clock. And I'm still, I'm a superhuman and you're a piece of shit.
Oh, dude, I'm about to give you a big boner here. Cause I think in tribute, I should recite their saying.
Okay,
Navy SEAL Frogman Creed.
So this is what they say. This is something that,
and this was like in that scene of Lone Survivor when the new guy there got on. Okay. God, it's long. I'm going to go through it though. Ready?
Hit it.
In times of war or uncertainty, there is a special breed of warrior ready to answer our nation's call. A common man with uncommon desire to succeed. Forged by adversity, he stands alongside America's finest special operations forces to serve his country, the American people, and protect our way of life. I am that man. My trident is a symbol of honor and heritage, bestowed upon me by the heroes that have gone before. It embodies the trust of those I have sworn to protect. By wearing the trident, I accept the responsibility of my chosen profession and way of life. It is a privilege that I must earn every day. My loyalty to country and team is beyond reproach. I humbly serve as a guardian to my fellow Americans, always ready to defend those who are unable to defend themselves. I do not advertise the nature of my work, nor seek recognition for my actions. I voluntarily accept the inherent hazards of my profession, placing the welfare and security of others before my own. I serve with honor on and off the battlefield. The ability to control my emotions and my actions, regardless of circumstances, sets me apart from other men. Uncompromising integrity is my standard. My character and honor are steadfast. My word is my bond. We expect to lead and be led. In the absence of orders, I will take charge, lead my teammates, and accomplish the mission. I lead by example in all situations. I will never quit. I preserve and thrive on adversity. My nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger than my enemies. If knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and to accomplish our mission. I am never out of the fight. We demand discipline. We expect innovation. The lives of my teammates and the success of our mission depend on me, my technical skill, tactical proficiency, and attention to detail. My training is never complete. We train for war, to fight, to win. I stand ready to bring the full spectrum of combat power to bear in order to achieve my mission and the goals established by my country. The execution of my duties will be swift and violent when required, yet guided by the very principles that I serve to defend. Brave men have fought and died building the proud tradition and feared reputation that I am bound to uphold. In the worst of conditions, the legacy of my teammates steadies my resolve and silently guides my every deed. I will not fail. Ooh. I wonder how many guys complete buds. They're awesome swimmers. They're tactically the guy that you want behind you to protect your six, and then can grow a nice ass, thick ass beard. Uh-huh. They don't have the memorization skills to pull this off, and therefore can't officially become a frogman.
That's a goddamn long creed right there. That's some of my favorites. I did take some notes there, Todd. I'm a big forged by adversity guy.
What?
Big forged by adversity guy. I mean, who? If you ain't forged by adversity, you're a piece of shit.
What are you forged by? Are you forged by just get by on the easiest way to get there?
I like when something has been bestowed upon someone. Big fan of that. My shit's steadfast. I stay steadfast. You know what I mean? That's a good one I really enjoyed. I lead by example in all situations, bro. I enjoy this one. I will draw upon my strength, my last ounce of strength to defend my brothers. That was a good one. Also, tactical proficiency. Very overlooked, barely touched upon, not knowing that these guys are absolute savages tactically.
Absolutely. And I want to go ahead and apologize to every badass motherfucking Navy SEAL who's ever served our country if I stumbled there a couple times, but ads kept popping up. And that's another thing. It should be against the law on the internet to run pop-up ads on the same fucking page as the Navy SEAL Frogman Creed.
I mean, I think they should definitely raid the offices of pop-ups.
Mm.
Take them down. Don't interrupt the creed, pussies.
Ride your little fucking rubber boat, Zodiac boat up there silently. Yeah.
And you're weird. Yep.
And just start fucking putting holes in people's foreheads.
I mean, just popping off rounds with a monolithic suppressor on the end. You know what I mean? A nice little monolithic suppressor. Maybe get a nice little commando grip on there. 60 round clips. You know, nice. That's just, you know, if you're trying to move in silence. You know what I mean? Obviously, they do because they move. Their actions are swift and violent.
They are swift and violent. That means
I wonder
fast and you get fucked up.
They should make that a TV show. Regular people try Navy SEAL camp, and then they have retired SEALs set up exactly what they got to do for the most part and see who really has the balls. Because they have that one show we watch sometimes where, you know, not Naked and Afraid. Those fucks are goofballs. Get some clothes and go just go out in the middle of the wilderness on this other show, which is called Alone or whatever, right? They just take off and whoever comes back last wins the cash. That I forgot what the fuck the connection was there, Todd. I'm not going to lie.
Well, here's the show. You do exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, like that show.
You get former Navy SEALs and you bring them out, and then you have like badass, super in shape athletes and celebrities. Like you get a Nick Diaz from the UFC on there, and then you get like, I don't know, Ryan Reynolds, you know, fucking people like that that are just look like badasses and are obviously in very good shape, and you see how far they go.
As a team?
Yeah, as a team.
Also with paintball guns.
With paintball guns.
So when you land in, you drop in, and you have a location on everybody, but then obviously they're going to be moving, so you're going to have to know that.
Then whatever celebrity athlete team wins the challenge gets to actually go on an a real mission, a real Navy SEAL mission.
You're going to go to Guantanamo, or, you know, load up, you know, you're going to gear up in Guantanamo, obviously, in a C-30, mm-hmm. a C-3-10-30 or whatever. You know, that's the ones where you jump out the back. You're going to land. No, you're not going to jump out the back yet. We're just going to train. We're just going to get, tactically proficient. And then you go maybe into Libya, you know what I mean? Maybe Syria, yeah. maybe you got to
rescue some oil executives that are being held captive or for hostage and ransom in Turkmenistan or somewhere.
Somewhere in a Sunni nation, mm-hmm. possibly Somalia. And if, obviously similar missions have happened there. Maybe you've heard of it when a Black Hawk Down went down.
I would like to see how Bradley Cooper handles himself, you know, in one of those situations. Fast roping down into a, you know, an oil tanker or something and taking out some fucking pirates.
I definitely feel like I really, really have the urge, and I really want to do our adventure episodes, which we're due for some adventure. We have not done some adventure for a little bit. You know, the military shit, you know, I want to do military stuff, going down the rope, fucking blasting rounds off the side of a chopper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Throwing a flashbang in, bust it in, raiding a fucking compound. And also we got to do some tactical stuff with you and some of your high end police buddies. I still really want to do that a lot.
Yeah. Still got some left.
Got some buddies in there.
Get some guys from the SWAT team, run us through a course.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. I want to hear that. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding,
I want to,
ding, ding, ding.
If you don't get two and three, if you don't get three or four dinks in a row, you're a bitch. Ding, ding, ding. You got to have a pause before the fourth one because you're zooming in. You got the first three dinks. Ding, ding, ding. The quick beat, couple of beat weights. Ding, ding, ding. You know what I mean? Three more.
I want the pop-up ones too.
Oh, yeah.
Pop-up, and I have to quickly determine if it's a hostage or a hostage taker.
Yes. Is it the guy on the side holding a person in his arms? Mm-hmm. Then you got to have that perfect dink over the left, over the you know, obviously our left, the stage right shoulder of the victim.
Yes.
Catch the guy in the forehead. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's where that monolithic suppressor comes in. You know, you got the commando grip. You're trying to help here with the vertical and the horizontal recoil.
Mm. I love it. I love it. And we need simunition guns. We need to do simunition live scenarios. Let's clear some buildings.
Let's clear a building, bro. I want to drop in on a chopper over the building, drop down ropes. I want someone to look at me doing this shit with the signals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know what's fine as fuck?
I should have joined the military instead of waited tables when I was 18. I'm a dumbass.
Well, maybe.
I might have been I might have been Navy SEAL.
Probably had a lot more fun. You might have been a Navy SEAL.
Or at least some sort of Navy. Maybe I would, you know, maybe I'll at least go to mop their locker rooms, you know?
How, you know, and they probably respect the guy that comes in. The guy in the chow hall gets their belly full, makes them feel warm and cozy after they just rescued some fucking people. And they've been, you know, at it 48 hours.
That is wild. I'll tell you what else. Dayton this next weekend, bro. Dayton, Ohio.
Boom.
Wiley's Comedy Club, Dayton, Ohio.
There you can go to wileyscomedy.com for that, or go to gunsblazingpodcast.com. There's links in both. Get your tickets now. That's a great venue, by the way. If you've never been,
love that place.
Go watch a show there. It's something special. It's Bowers the old school comedy club.
Bowers used to hate that we used to love that club so much. But I'm telling you, that club, it's just a different vibe. It has that old vibe, and it feels wonderful doing stand-up in there.
It's my favorite stage to be on. The people are wrapped all around you. It's got all that old exposed brick. The acoustics are awesome. The lighting's perfect. I mean, I don't think rooms get any better than that nowadays.
No. Sure don't, bro. It sure don't, Todd.
All right, brother. On that note, check out that show. Go to the website. Maybe get you a shirt. We're probably due for a new round of shirts. We should work on
that. Yeah, we should do that. We'll get on that. Also, subscribe to YouTube, man. Subscribe to YouTube.
Subscribe to YouTube. We love you guys. Love you, Sean.
Love you, buddy. See you later.